Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, not only will you open the door to new understandings, but you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. This way, you'll see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now, tonight, it is my pleasure to welcome back An. An is a walk into the body of Jesse An Nichols George, who used to be a guest on our show. And we're not going to focus on that tonight. If you're interested, I will give you a reference to episodes where An talks about that previously. An is a Magi walk-in from the multiverse, and she stepped into this human existence to relieve Jesse An Nichols George, whose body she now inhabits. She is still known by Jesse's name, though she calls herself An. Jesse and An are part of the same Magi team, which work to assist people in living compassionately, wisely, and harmoniously. Their work helps people to be conscious of their wholeness and how they are existing. Together, Jesse and An have created 7 books on their own. Jesse was also a collaborator on the bestseller book Embraced by the Divine. She hosted her own international radio show, The Code Connection, for 5 years, and created the Genesis Clearing Statement. An focuses on carrying out the code journey work by producing a new edition of a book by that title each year to guide people in how to maneuver life on Earth. As a coding interpreter, she helps people understand the flow of their energy in this world and how to bring that into divine alignment. Her work uses almost 39 years of experience teaching and working with clients, as well as blending Eastern and Western philosophies through over 50 different modalities. An's human self is a 13-plus generation spiritual healer, energy tuner, spiritual and wellness coach. She is also a 13th-plus generation druidic practitioner, honoring and appreciating the harmony of all things and working with the natural cycles of life. This bloodline history includes everything from freedom fighters like George Washington, a lead translator and Hebrew scholar involved in the original translations of the Bible, a 4-star general in the Air Force, royalty, Apache and Cherokee Indian, European farming, and many of the Celtic and Northern European influences, as well as a bit of Norse energy. As a Magi, An works with all star seeds, soul groupings, and existences. And I'm going to give you her website now. An does remarkable work in carrying out Jesse's work with code interpretation. And using all of those different modalities, Jesse did a chart for me, if you will, and provided a wealth of information. And An also helped me through her gifts with a situation in my life and to provide valuable information. So let me give you the website. It's called CompassionCodes.com. And so with that said, let me welcome An. An, how are you tonight?
I'm doing well, David, and it's always such a pleasure to be on your show and to spend some time with you and your listeners here.
Oh, thank you. Well, the pleasure is mutual. And before we get into tonight's discussion, and also just to let the callers know, An is going to speak with one of you, and you'll get to benefit from her experience. What I'm going to say is that I'm going to ask An to pick a number, because just one of you are going to get to talk with her. When the time is ripe, I'll have her pick a number out of the numbers of callers that we have, and one of you will be privileged to receive a gift from An. So, An, before we begin with our discussion, would you like to talk a little bit about the Code Journey work and talk about the new edition of your book that's out this year?
Oh, I would love to. The Code Journey work is really, it's this interesting personal journey, and it is designed as a daily guidebook, so I put it out a new one every year. It's a pretty thick book. It's about 650, 700 pages, right in that range, and it breaks down what's happening, the energetic influences for the year, the currents and the patterns, the code patterns that we're dealing with, and the codes are really, you know, I have so many people, they try to figure out what are the codes. Well, the codes are really kind of a language for me. And what it is that I work a lot with numbers and letters and things like that. And each of those things tell me a story. They provide information for me. And I take that and I put it into my own understanding as a Magi, and look at what that's telling me and what that's sharing with me. And then I bring it back out into the English language where I can share it with people here on Earth. And I found, you know, Jesse really found that this work was a great way to help people to embrace their own personal journey while also being a part of what everybody really in the world is experiencing. So the influences look at what's happening in our world from the year, from the month, lunar influences like the new moon and the full moon, other portals that might happen throughout the year like the solstices and the equinoxes, and also on a daily basis and through angel energy vibrations. And so it shares the wisdom, the information that's available to us. It gets our mind to release and unlock some of the programming that we've had throughout our life, and then to start to do more of our own thinking, start to do the thinking that is about asking questions to ourselves and considering maybe some additional possibilities of what to do with things. And what I like about this book is that it provides some guidance and some insight into what's happening and how to move through life with some foresight, how to face the challenges that are going on from a day-to-day basis without telling people specifically what to do, because what we really want them to do is to open up and apply it to their life and how it works in their flow of their day, and not just how it works for everybody else. So like astrology, they kind of figure that everybody who's of a particular sign will have the same experience. Well, with the codes, we have a shared experience in life, but we're also having these personal experiences. So what this does is that even though we all have our own personal experiences within these currents, you can take one thing, and that one thing could apply many different ways, depending on the individual. So this is, it's very interesting for people to look at this stuff and go, wow, I can't believe that you could see how things were going to happen a certain way on a certain day. But it's all about reading the way energies are connecting with each other. And again, that blends so many different modalities when I do with the work with things, and none of them do I use in the traditional ways. So that wisdom allows us to operate with this foresight. It allows us to approach our day with greater wisdom. And the reason that the general or the worldly currents play out in each of our lives is because even if maybe we're not, say, feeling aggravation or stress directly, we may be dealing with a lot of people that are in that space. So, you know, it can be either us directly or it could be somebody that we're in contact with that's having that experience, or that may be the main theme that runs through people. Because when people are not, you know, we have a lot of people out there, they don't stop and think about these things, and they're just moving through being influenced by the currents instead of being aware of them and working with them in a positive relationship with them. So the codes kind of hold us in our divine alignment and help us to work in positive relationship with what energies are available on a day-to-day basis.
Thanks, Ann. Well, that kind of segues into the topic for discussion tonight. Is everybody's experienced, we've been living in very unique times, at least within our lifetimes. There has been a lot of chaos within the world due to various things, which I don't want to elaborate on, don't need to. Everybody knows what's going on. But An had suggested a topic for tonight that I thought was absolutely spot on, and that was how to stand in observation and find moments of peace among the world's chaos. And so, An, you know, when you were talking about the currents that are around us and affecting us, I was thinking, well, that really is a lead-in to what you had suggested as a topic. So I'm interested in what suggestions you might have on how to stand in observation instead of getting swept away by those currents.
Well, you know, it's very interesting because so many people lately have expressed just feeling frustration, maybe feeling some disappointment going on, hoping that maybe bigger things would be happening in our world and they're not happening, or maybe things aren't happening the way that they wanted them to happen. And so one of the key pieces in the code journey work has to deal with observation. And I've always found observation and to be able to sit and observe something a very powerful piece to work with. Now, a lot of people, when they first think of observation, their mind kind of goes to sitting really, really still and being in meditation. They see it as a really passive thing. And so a lot of people don't tap into that power that comes with observation. And yes, sometimes it could just be sitting still. But so much of the time, what creates turbulence in our life is because we're trying to see things the way that we want to see them instead of seeing them the way that they are. And so that observation, when we come into observation, we're really kind of coming into this more neutral point. What we're doing is we're giving ourselves a chance to work from wisdom and to act from wisdom instead of reacting to things that we're seeing in our life. So a lot of people think, well, you know, I never saw that before. Well, usually everything is right there in front of us. We just haven't taken the time to observe it. We just haven't looked that closely at things. And so when we hit these points of chaos, what we're looking at is kind of like becoming the eye of the storm. Right? That's where the safety is in that calm center space in the storm. So when we come into observation, we're bringing clarity into our minds. We're bringing the ability to stand up for something without getting caught in the drama of it, without getting caught in going into deep battle with it. So observation becomes very, very powerful because when we come into observation, it's actually giving us a chance to align with pieces like integrity and truth. And truth is a really big thing, because truth is one of those pieces that is, people are in, our world's in a lot of chaos over right now, right? What is true? What isn't true? And it's been very hard for people to sort through, you know, what is and isn't true. Their heads have been kind of spinning around a lot lately. So when we can come into that truth, what we're doing is we're coming into an alignment with our own soul's energy, with our own ability to come into this sort of divine connection, kind of get everything recalibrated and kind of center in so that we can actually, like I said, take action instead of be in reaction. So observation is really this place of being in consciousness in a way, but it's actually a very active space at the same time. And I'm going to take a breath there.
Well, I like the way you talked about acting instead of reacting, because I think that's the human tendency to react. And when we do that, or at least when I do that, I am in a place where I'm not getting an accurate read on the whole picture. I mean, as much as I can from my own individual perspective. And as an empath, I tend to take on all kinds of stuff. I'm very sensitive to the energy of other people, and I'm a very compassionate person, and that can get in the way of me being an observer. And I'm sure that's the case for all people that have that disposition or quality within themselves. So I'm wondering, you know, I heard you talking about being conscious, and as I am interpreting it, being present to the moment and being that observer that we've talked about. But I'm wondering what we can do to facilitate that outside of what you had talked about that many people turn to or think in terms of, and that is sitting in silence. Excuse me.
Well, and the being in that observer position, by the way, is where we are able to take command of our life. So this is where we can step in and actually have an influence on things. But you can't really influence things until you're willing to look at everything that is a part of something. Oftentimes what we do is we just glance at the surface things, right? How many times do you just pass through your room or drive down the same street every day, and you're not really paying attention to what's there. So you might miss something that's changed subtly in the environment. And so we just take this quick glance, and it's kind of like, if you go through the paper and you're just reading the headlines and you're not actually reading the story, then you're not really getting the truth. You're not really seeing the deeper layers that are in things. So the space of observation, it can actually pull us out of the chaos by becoming fully present, by fully looking at things. You're right. People who are empathic, and we have a lot of people out there that are empathic, they can get swept up in the emotions, right? They can get swept up in what's fair, what's just, what's that emotion just automatically kind of pulls them into a little bit of a rebellion stage, really, in things in there. But when we are willing to step into the point of the observer, what we are telling the universe is, I'm ready to look at the truth, and I'm ready to look at the whole truth. And through that, I will be able to take command of my own life. I'll be able to start having an impact and an influence on things. And when we do that from a heart-centered space, now we are really working in relationship with divine energy. So observation could involve things like researching things. It can sometimes involve just sitting and being present. It can involve going into the deeper layers, looking at what is beyond the things that your eyes can see. What is the real vibration? What is happening? I mean, I can look at a picture, but my eyes might tend to focus on only one thing in that picture. But if I really start to observe it, I can find all kinds of other things to it. If you go for a walk in nature and you go by trees, you look at it and our tendency is just, it's a tree, it's there, you know. But we don't start to get into the deeper layers of what the tree is. And so it really has this beautiful way of opening the mind. It has this beautiful way of getting us to start to ask questions. So this is where it moves from a passive space into a more active space, because it becomes then about researching things. It comes about exploring things, and exploring is an action of the soul. It's an action that opens us up to our divine self, which is just obviously quite incredible to be in. And so the observer is coming into this full presence. It's not accepting things at face value. It is saying, what is happening beyond this face value? What are these currents? It's bringing in, what am I feeling in addition to what I'm seeing? So this is not just sitting still and blanking everything. This actually becomes very active, because now we're opening to really learning about something. We're opening to being in the explorer space. We're opening to finding out all of the facets of something, looking at the wholeness of something or someone or a situation, and not just being caught up in the drama that we're being shown, because our eyes can be so deceptive. You know, there's so many things that can look one way and are a different way. So this is where it opens up. So that can lead you, again, down for people, it could take all kinds of different directions. But as we know, when we come into that presence, now we can do that influence. Now we can get in and make a change. We can transform something. We can shift directions. And so it's really like getting that strong concept of something before you move forward. It's giving you that opportunity to bring things together and to get really clear on things.
Well, I'm not sure how to put it. I'm getting a couple of things from what you were saying. My initial inclination was to think that and being the observer, you're being more objective. But then as you talked further, I was thinking there's a subjective context to it as well. Am I misinterpreting something?
I would say no, you're not. On one hand, you're being objective so that you can look at all of the different components of what's happening. And at the same time, you're then going to take that objectiveness or those pieces and decide what you want to do with it. So that can become a subjective process in seeing how you want to apply it to your own life. But the observation piece is definitely more on the objective side. When we start to take action on what we've observed, then it can start to shift to be more subjective in things.
That makes it more personal.
Right. Right, because it's kind of like saying, okay, I'm observing this situation. I see I see that things are happening. I see, you know, for a long time, maybe, okay, let's say for a long time, I've maybe only seen one side of somebody. And then if I, because I've only seen them maybe in one setting or through one experience, but then maybe I'm able to see them in another setting and I'm able to sit back and I'm able to just really watch them, or I'm able to sit and really have a conversation with them and to really give them my full attention instead of it being in the midst of doing something else. And so now I'm starting to really tune in to the words that they're using, the tones that they use, maybe the gestures that they use when they talk. And I'm starting to get more and more of a picture of who they are in that conversation or in watching them through things. And that then will give me some information. Okay, I'm starting to see these different components. So now I'm starting to shift and realize that there's a lot more there. There's a lot more happening with this person. You know, maybe they're not the arrogant person I thought they were. Maybe they're really have a lot of compassion, but they've just are a person who has had to face a lot of tough things in their life. They've had to stand up for themselves. They've had to deal with a lot of tough people in their life. And likewise, you know, there could be somebody that seems really nice on the surface, and then as I start to get to know them, that's like, well, that person is nothing like what they say, you know. Once I start to observing them, it's like their actions aren't matching their words. What's going on here? And so it does really open us up. So in one sense, it does. It opens up that objectivity. But then I have to take that and I have to say, well, now how is that going to influence the way I want to interact with this person? How is that going to influence the direction I want things go? Because if I thought they're nice and then I'm seeing all these inconsistencies, well, you know, maybe that's not a path that I want to persist in. Likewise, you know, maybe I want to get to know this other person who seemed rough at first, but I'm finding out they're really a cool person and they really have this big caring heart. And, you know, so maybe I want to unfold some deeper layers, and that's something that I want to explore more. So knowing that maybe they've been through some hard experiences in their life, I can now approach them from a different space. I can now decide to say, yeah, let's shift the direction things are going. Let's open this door further. Or now that I can see the whole picture of who somebody is, let me decide. I think maybe I'll go this direction instead of that direction. Or maybe I can, understand where they're coming from or what might trigger them more. And that might shift how I want to handle things when I'm around them.
Makes me think of a couple of things. As you were talking, I was thinking about the phrase from the Bible about how you can't judge somebody unless you've walked a mile in their shoes. But it also made me think about how powerful and inaccurate the written word can be, because in order to really be in touch with communication, it takes all of those different nuances that you gain from being in person with another person, as opposed to receiving something that's written. You miss the inflections of the voice, you miss the eye contact, you miss the gestures, all of these things that are part of our interpretation of an interpersonal experience. What I'd like to do, even though I said I didn't want to go there, let's take a look at one aspect of the chaos that's going on in the world and see if we can shed some light on how to be active observers instead of getting caught up in our fears, and I'm talking about COVID now, which has had such an impact on the whole world, and we've all had our unique experiences. I guess I'm wondering how we can go into a place of acting and not reacting to that, how we can observe dispassionately without getting caught up in hysteria, or I don't know if I'm making any sense, but do you get catch my drift?
Yep, absolutely. And one thing I'll say, when we're willing to observe, it helps us to find freedom. And, you know, if we're going to look at it in the context, for example, of COVID, you know, we are fed so much information from the media. And so many people have been taught to take the media at face value. They've been taught to believe whatever the newspapers print, believe whatever the television stations broadcast on the news channels, because they've been taught to believe that those people's job is to tell them the truth. And yet so many times they will show clips of something, and what they show is only what they want you to see. And they don't show you the whole picture. They don't show you the whole speech or the whole situation. And, you know, it's no more than when a movie is set up and they want you to look like these actors are going through high adventure things, and it's a stationary thing behind them, and they're not really doing this high adventure thing, right? They've got fans on them or something else. And so these are the things that if we just take what somebody gives to us at face value, for example, with COVID, and we just say, oh, okay, I'll just accept whatever the news channels say. They say the numbers are going up, or they say, you know, this is happening or that's happening with COVID. They, you know, it's dangerous. Now you've got to wear 3 masks. And, you know, if we took that at face value, we would be missing so much of what's happening. We wouldn't see what's really happening in the situation. If we are willing to really listen, really observe, really pay attention, we'll find that what people are saying is not consistent with what they're asking us to do, right? They've already shown that there's been a lot of mayors and governors and people out there, and they're asking people to wear masks, but then they don't wear one. You know, there's all of these kind of hypocrisies that are going on. And so then if we get down deeper and deeper, we start to realize that some of the things we're being told don't match up with the actual facts of things. And so if we get in and we start observing, if we get in and we start really looking at things, and then we start looking and we're open to really seeing the facts, not just in the way somebody wants us to see them, but really seeing the different pieces, really starting to take the time and say, okay, the box that the masks come in are saying this doesn't protect you. You know, if I really look at how a virus works, does it make sense to get a shot, for example, that they're telling me, one, isn't going to stop me from getting the virus and isn't going to stop me from transmitting it. But then we need to look beyond that, again, doing our own research and really dropping further in. And when we start to get down to the facts, then we start to get down to the truth. And I don't mean the facts like the science that they want you to know. And then you start realizing, okay, there's a lot more to this story. There's connections with the people who are putting out the vaccines are connected to Gates, or the people that, you know, it like has all these connections to it. And then you start getting a bigger picture of what's happening in the whole scenario. So when we look at this, you know, you can say, well, is a vaccine wrong? No, it's not wrong. For some people, that might be exactly the thing that they want or need for whatever reason. You know, would I personally get one? Probably not. But, you know, that's my decision, and somebody else has to make their own decision based on what's right for them. And, you know, is it needed? No, not necessarily. It's not needed for the conditions that we're in. So if we start to look at things, we start realizing in this situation of COVID how much has been played with. And it doesn't matter where your stance is on this. When you start to really observe things, you start to see how the numbers are getting dramatically played with, how the stories are shifting so much within it. And so the stories are becoming inconsistent. You know, you have January 20th, nothing can open, and everything's in this dramatic, horrible state, nothing's safe. And January 21st, everything is safe. And then things start to open. Well, obviously the numbers didn't shift that dramatically in one day to go from being totally dangerous to being totally safe. So when we start to observe these pieces, we can start to say, well, you know, maybe it's not exactly the way they've been telling us it is. And again, you know, there's all kinds of different perceptions and all kinds of different aspects in there. And I always encourage people, you know, you don't want to sit around and get in all kinds of arguments with people, but have discussions with people. Really listen to what's being said and really try to understand where the different perspectives are coming from, right? Because people have all kinds of different experiences. And when you do this and you sit and you observe all these different pieces of information, these different perspectives, you can start to come to a place to see, you know, where are things overlapping, where are they not overlapping? You just start to naturally unfold the truth in that process. And as we know, the truth sets us free. It definitely does, because it brings us into divine alignment, and that opens the door to true freedom for us. So when we start observing things, we'll realize whether something is consistent. We'll realize how much it's changing, and the more that it's changing, the less likely it is to be true. Because what we know about truth is that truth is timeless. It applies in any point, in any time, in any place. It doesn't shift and change. And so, you know, observation allows us to see the things that we often miss. And with something like COVID, I think more and more people are taking the time to start to observe what is really happening with it, what has been happening. And, you know, I find that the more that comes out for people, the better. The more different views we have, the better, because then people can come to their own conclusions. What is very hard for a lot of people is they're not always given the truth on something. And this is why it's so important for us to do our own observation and come into our own understanding of things. And again, what's right for one person may not be right for another person, and realizing that from our different experiences and our different perspectives, we have different things that are going to work out well. And an observation is not about one thing being right or another thing being wrong. It's about being willing to see it from all these different perspectives, and then using that information and that truth to help you find the way forward that is going to work best for your own self.
Well, thank you, Anne, for that. I think that there, COVID aside, what you're saying makes a lot of sense with regard to anything that we look at in life. And as I'm hearing it, we want to come to a point where we are truth seekers and looking through dispassionate eyes, instead of getting caught up in any one particular facet of the truth. We need to look at the whole picture. We have 20 minutes left. What I'd like to do, if you're willing, is to bring one of the callers on the line to have a little snapshot done by you. And then if there's time left after that, we could go to comments or questions. Does that sound reasonable?
It sounds great. And I want to mention that with observation, it's really about getting an experience for yourself. It's really about going out and finding something out for yourself. And that's what's going to calm the chaos in things, is for you to do that. If you only rely on other people to tell you things, you're not really going to know what's going on. And so the chaos always comes when we sit and we take the time to look at something and we sit with it for a while instead of just going into that reaction on it heavy. So, I think that's just a key piece with it. It's about experiencing something and experiencing it as fully as you can.
I like that. Well, we had more callers, but right now we have six, and two of them I know. And so I'd like to work with the first four. If you could pick a number between 1 and 4, then I will go to that person.
3.
Okay. Area code 631, I'm coming to you. And I'm just going to ask you your first name for now, and then you can talk to
Ann. Oh, my gosh. I thought I can't believe it. I had a feeling I was going to get picked. My name is Suzanne.
Hi, Suzanne. How are you?
Okay.
Good. Say hi to Ann.
Hi, Ann.
Hi. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi.
And did you have a question or something today, or?
Yes. What do you see with either about a new job or a love life, or my son just went into boot camp, is going into boot camp in February, and I'm missing him tonight. I'm waiting for a letter, and I'm waiting for a companion. I wish God would send me one, and that's about it. He's my only kid.
And when is your birthday, Suzanne?
October 5th.
October 5th. Okay. Give me just a moment here. I'm going to kind of take a look there. I can't get, full perspective on everything over the call, but I will certainly grab some pieces that I can for you here and see what's coming through. Okay. So, this timing that you're in, a lot of things right now in this phase that you're in up through your birthday is really about how you're choosing to operate in the world. How much integrity are you coming from? How much are you willing to stand in the truth right now? This is a great year for you to take chances and take risks. So, if there's somebody that you're interested in, you may want to make the first move this year, as long as you're doing it from a clear space, okay, as long as you're not doing it with any major motives there. You can certainly stand to gain. You can certainly stand to have things work out very well for you. The thing that you have to be careful of is how you're using your power in this process. So as you're going through and making decisions on things and trying to bring things into your life, you don't want to be doing them from really greedy or controlling spaces. You want to open up and allow it to come to you, but not be afraid of taking the initiative in it. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Okay. So it's not just sitting back and waiting for it to show up, but not trying to control everything the way it goes, letting it have its own natural flow to it. So if you can do that, if you can stay open, if you can stay receptive, if you're willing to take the first step in something, you know, if you're willing to be the one to approach somebody that you have an interest in versus waiting for them to come to you, then you could definitely have things work out very well in any area of life for yourself. But if you go in looking to try to control somebody, looking to try to manipulate them into coming into your life.
I don't do that. I don't ever do that.
Yeah. So, you know, that's the only thing. It's just showing, you know, as long as you're not doing that, then you should be able to have a lot of things come through for you over the next several months, I would say.
I work part-time. Do you see a full-time job?
It can. You're just going to have to be a little more proactive in asking for it and going for it. If you do that, you'll be able to have it come through. I definitely feel like, you know, again, I can't get too specific because it's more, you know, I'd need more information than what I can get into on this call, but. You know, again, just keep taking the initiatives. Don't be afraid to go for something that that you want, even if maybe you don't have all the qualifications for it. And just keep hanging in there with it. But I think it will come through for you.
I have an interview Thursday.
Good. Yeah, you can, like I said, you can have things work out well. So, you know, just go in there with the good attitude, just go in standing in truth and integrity about things and you know, see where it goes for you. But you have that potential. Things are in your favor, and if for some reason something doesn't work out, just keep taking the initiative because it's going to come through.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Suzanne. Thank you for calling in tonight.
All right, thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome. Have a good night. Okay. It's interesting. As soon as I picked Suzanne, there were a number of other calls that came in. What would you like to do now? You want to take questions and comments on?
Yeah, let's do some questions and comments.
Okay. I'm going to go to area code 267. I know this person is Jackie, and I'm sure she'll have some comments. Jackie, how are you?
Oh, hi, David. Good evening. Hi, Ann. I'm doing really well. You two both sound wonderful.
Thank you.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi. I really don't have a question, but I would love to share with your audience, David, that it's been 2 years now that I've known on, and the Code Journey 2021 book is my third year. My very first one was 2019, and I started that in February. So actually, happy anniversary, Ann. We've known each other 2 years this month. So I'm very blessed and very, very grateful to have her in my life and to have the Code Journey work. It has changed me immensely. I love it. I love working with it every day, and I could not imagine my life without it. So an encouragement to anybody who's listening to Ann and wants to know more about her work, I totally encourage anyone to get the book, to watch her videos, and she has her own YouTube video that she puts out, and just to investigate that and see how that resonates with you, because it's really a blessing.
Thank you, Jackie.
Jackie.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. God bless. All right. Now, I just wanted people to keep in mind that Ann is not going to do another code reading, but if you have a question or comment based on what she shared already, please put that forward. I'm going to go to the callers that have been listening, and welcome to the other new callers. I encourage you to go back into the archives at blogtalkradio.com/authordavidclark, spelled with an E, and listen to the show. It really has been very remarkable. Area code 212, what is your first name, please?
Oh, hi, David. It's Bryn.
Hey, Bryn. How are you?
Good. Good. I just going to have a comment. I enjoyed the show on with you on. And numerology that you use, like a numerological type of model in terms of the code or?
Well, it's a blend of 50 different modalities, so there is some numerology aspects to it. A lot of times I am bringing things into numbers or letters, but a lot of times I, you know, will work with that. And I just don't use it in the way that traditional numerologists would. I then just am gathering, I gather information from those numbers. Those numbers speak to me.
Right.
But I don't have the, you know, like a specific format. And many times it's layered in. So it's layered in with a lot of different pieces that are coming together in things and interacting with one another. So it's, you know, I could take a number five and one time that might be applying to change, which is kind of closer to a traditional numerology definition. But, you know, other times that might be applying to aspects of exploration or travel or, you know, other pieces. And then depending on what else is with that particular one number, you know, what other numbers or what other letters or what other things that I'm looking at or planetary alignments or different things, I just look at them from a different perspective. When those things start to interact, they can create a whole dynamic that is does not necessarily match any traditional definitions that you would find in those modalities.
Sure. Yeah, that's something like 50 modalities combined together. That's amazing. I knew somebody who was a walk-in in my earlier years. She was before the walk-in experience. She had been addicted to drugs and was kind of a broken individual. And then another being walked in, right? And her life totally changed. She became a head of a breathwork modality, helping people to, you know, integrate themselves and release emotions and, you know, other problems through breath work. But it was a fascinating story that she told me about, like the two experiences of the life she had before and then the walk-in experience. So I'm very familiar with the walk-in type of situation in that sense. Yeah.
Yeah, it can definitely be, you know, very different experiences. Sometimes they're, like, between Jesse and I, we come from the same Magi team, so there's a certain amount of level of understanding or ways that we communicate that are similar. But, of course, she was in this body from the time the body came to be, you know, was birth. And so, you know, she had a lot more of the human experiences going on in her life, and she had a lot more aspects that, you know, having to come into that knowing. But then as a walk-in, I'm coming in with a different piece of more like doing a job than you know, having to go through everything she had, because she already had that put through the human self. But the way we function, the way we approach things, I certainly do not put up with things that she put up with. I'm a lot more blunt with people in some ways, and I'm a lot less concerned with whether somebody believes me or doesn't believe me or likes what I'm doing or doesn't like what I'm doing.
So you as a walk-in are not from the earth here. Were you formerly a human spirit, or were you from another dimension, or what? Like, how does that work?
The Magi work with every existence. So we're working with all the different groupings, all the different existences. It is not very often that we will incarnate. That's kind of a really rare thing. And, you know, so we are busy enough not incarnating and bringing things together and working with all the different groupings for what needs to be done. But we don't often incarnate. So
this is a rare one here. Rare occurrence.
This is a rare thing, yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I don't want to take any more time. I just enjoyed your. I liked how you talked about having critical thinking in terms of listening to what is deemed as authority of things. You know, because you know when you're talking about the media and the COVID and anything in that realm, to set a question. You know. To have a critical mind and not be kind of suckered into like this is the ultimate true information, you know. It's like a lesson in discernment for us to trust our discernment instead of through the mental sort of reception of like taking in information and thinking that's the authority, but thinking, okay, does this feel right? Does this feel right? I'm not feeling this, or I am feeling it, you know? And so I like what you talked about in that sense, you know, because I'm on the same page with you on that.
I say anything at face value, always do your own research on things.
Right.
And that's, you know, always go right into the core places, not just, you know, again, the media stuff that's out there, but you know, like I will go directly into a government site, for example. I will go directly into the official documents of something where I can read it for myself instead of just getting somebody's interpretation of things. And that's the thing. But as you say, you know, it's listening also to that gut instinct that's saying, I know what I'm hearing, but something doesn't seem like it's matching up, or something doesn't feel quite right, or things like this.
The vibe doesn't feel true, right. Mm-hmm. All right, well, thank you. Thank you. I won't take any more of your time.
Thank you.
Thank you for your comments and questions. Very much appreciated, Bryn.
You're welcome, David. Take care, man.
Okay, God bless.
God bless.
Excuse me. Are there any parting thoughts or feelings that you would like to share? We don't have time to take any more questions or comments.
No, David, I think this place of observation, this place of being the observer and being willing to observe things fully is just such a powerful piece, because when we're in chaos, and we have all this chaos around us, we need to come in and take that time to get fully present with something so that we don't get swept up on the chaos. And it's through observation, again, that we are going to come into that alignment. We're going to come into connection with truth, and that is going to lead us into to that divine connection that's going to help see us through the chaos. Because if we're not willing to really observe things, if we're not really willing to look at the deeper layers, if we're not willing to take a look at the things that maybe we don't want to look at, that maybe aren't what we hope they would be, then you know, we're depriving ourselves. We are going to get swept up in the chaos, and we are going to get tumbled around, and we are going to feel beat up in things. So just where I encourage people, it's that observation allows us to start making sense of what doesn't make sense. In many ways, it allows us to come in and get back into to thinking from a clearer mind. And, you know, there's just so much out there trying to sway us in different directions and to get us influenced and manipulate us into, you know, a certain story or a certain narrative out there. And we really want to just, I think, center in, because when we come back and we center in and we look at things, you know, what's really important? Is it really important that somebody's wearing a mask or not? Or is it really important how we treat somebody? Because we don't know everything that's going on. We don't know why they are or are not wearing that mask. We don't know what's behind it all. And, you know, unless you're willing to sit down and really get to know that person and really have an open, calm dialogue or something with them, you're not going to know what all is behind it. And there's so much that we can't see that's going on with somebody. And, you know, it comes down to basic human rights. It comes down to basic aspects of treating each other humanely. And if we're willing to come into observation, we can start to get to that point. And I think that that's going to be so valuable for our society and our culture right now, where we've been in so much division. And, you know, when we're standing in division, we're not seeing what's happening.
Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Thank you to all the callers. And just to let you know, Anne is going to be back on March 12th. She was kind enough to fill in tonight, and it's been a fascinating hour. And I thank you for your words of truth and wisdom and helping me to look at things a little bit differently for myself tonight. And again, it's interesting that we had a number of callers that have called in the last 15 or 20 minutes. So please check out the podcast and join us again on March 12th. And we'll come up with another wonderful topic for the evening. And some lucky person will be able to get a snapshot code analysis. But really, you should consider seeking out on through CompassionCodes.com to see exactly or more fully the type of work that she does do and how that might be of benefit to you. So thank you, Anne.
Thank you so much, David, for having me on.
My pleasure. So once again, we come to a close. Let's take time to pause and reflect upon what life truly is for each and every one of us. There's no single answer. It's all in the discernment. It's all in, the answers are all within our hearts. And so I ask you to look deep within and with new eyes, look outside of yourself and find a way to the truth. With that said, good night and God bless.